All right. We are coming back to our journey through Thessalonians. We are coming now to 2 Thessalonians. So 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. It's funny how in our choral reading, there's not a specific, kind of like when it comes to sanctification, there's not a specific choral reading that has to do with thankfulness. You would think that songbooks printed in America, where we observe a whole day for Thanksgiving and businesses take at least 4 or 5 days off, that we would have something of Thanksgiving in our choral reading. But instead we have to talk about one of the subjects, and instead is not the right word. But in light of that, we have to go to joy, or we need to go to God's goodness, or we go to, oh, what was the other one? I forget now, but I'll probably remember it during my sermon, and I won't be able to bring it up. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, and we're going to talk about giving God thanks. This appears so much in the Bible, especially in the book of Psalms. You know, appears in the book of wisdom, the wisdom book of Proverbs, about being thankful and expressing that thankfulness to God. And if you are thankful for other people, what they mean to you, things they do for you, how much they challenge you, how much they, if they pray for you and just tell you, hey, I prayed for you this week, that's what I covet the most. I'd rather you give me that than, well, some of you ladies cook so good, though, those things, but I'd rather hear that you're praying for me than anything. I've been invited to ministerial associations. I've been invited to all these big highfalutin things where all these big preachers, fancy preachers from these big old mega churches and everything are. But, you know, I'd rather have visits in the nursing home with people who are going to pray for me. And people that are feeling like they have nothing they can do anymore, well, you can still do some of the most important things. You can still pray for one another. You can love one another. You can still tell others about Jesus. And if you pray for me, that's the thing I covet the most. So giving God thanks, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly and the love of every one of you all abounds towards each other, so that we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure, which is manifest evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you also suffered, And then you see that God takes it seriously when the wicked or the evil persecute us, as the next verses in chapter 1 have to do with God's righteous retribution, his, how would you say, his vengeance. You know, if you had a wife or a child and you saw the world treating them bad, you know how you would feel about the world. To me as a guy, I know probably to you other guys too, people can say what they want to about us. We don't really care who they are. They don't sign our check, and we don't really care about the person that signs our check so much either. But you do that to our wife, our sister, our mom, our child, our friend, and now you've got somebody that's upset. I can take the stuff. I know what they say or what they intimate is not true anyways. And if it is, so what? You're worse. You know, we're all sinners in need of a Savior. And so the problem is that they think they're going to hurt us. Well, you've heard the saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Words can hurt you. and especially words that people will say about your faith or your Savior or your family or your church or people you really care about. And people can say what they want to about me. I got over that when I quit running for popularity contests when I was in kindergarten. I got right? So 2 Thessalonians verses 1 through 5 is about giving God thanks, and it expands the reasons why Paul was continually giving thanks to God for this church in Thessalonica. And so there's nothing more beautiful than a thankful spirit, to run into somebody who you know they're going through it, you know they're suffering, you know that they're not making enough money on their jobs, they're running out of money before they run out of month. And yet you see them joyful, yet you still talk, you hear them talking about how good God is, you see them suffering, you know that they have this kind of malady or that kind of problem. Like with me, it's migraine headaches every day. Sometimes they go away to where they're a lot more bearable. There's always still a little nagging thing in there. But other days it's just, you know, I find myself gritting my teeth because it hurts. But you go to work and you're thankful. And whenever I meet some of you that go through pain, that go through trials, I'd much rather go through migraine headaches every day than to worry about one of my kids. And to be worried about somebody I love that's suffering. For me, it's easier to suffer. You know, one of the hardest things, I was thinking about Betty. No matter how much our brother Jim suffered, there was somebody suffering more because she couldn't do anything about it. All she could do was be there for him. How many times, just, you know, church folks that I've been to their rooms or I've listened to them talking about how they're suffering, what kind of suffering they're going through, I would gladly take all of that I could for their sake. But you can't. And that's what makes it hard. For Betty to see Jim losing more of his memory, becoming less lucid, knowing that he was stuck in that stupid bed and getting what do they call that, bed sores. That hurt her more than it hurt Jim. Because there was nothing that she could do about it to help him get better. She could get on the nurses, she could get on the helpers more, but still that was not in her hands. And so to be thankful, even in those cases, to say, Lord, I thank you that I don't know where, like she would probably pray, Lord, I don't know where Jim is right now in his mind. I don't know where he is in his imagination, but you know, Lord. And you even walk with us through the valley of the shadow of death. So if you'd walk with him, be with him, encourage him, strengthen him, give him joy. Let him know that heaven is his home. Lord, please ease his suffering with your own dear presence. You know, that's all we can do is put him in God's hands. And so there's nothing more beautiful than a thankful spirit, even when you're suffering or when someone else that you care about is suffering around you. The Bible says, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. One who is always thanking God in everything and for everything. We have the greatest example of all in that besides our Lord Jesus, who from the cross was still thinking of others more than himself when he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He wasn't looking in vengeance. He was looking in the hope that what he was doing would account to the salvation of even those who were persecuting him and slandering him. And we read in the book of Acts, it actually did. God did answer. The Father did answer his son's prayers. And on one day, there were 3,000 priests that came to conversion, we read of in the book of Acts. That's quite amazing. And so it is fitting for us to be thankful. But you remember the man named Job. In one day, 10 of his children were brutally murdered, brutally killed. In one day, he lost all his vast possessions, everything that God had blessed him with, everything that he had meticulously worked hard to take care of, all those sheep, all those oxen, all those goats, everything. That was his livelihood. That was the food for his family and his servants. And he had a lot of servants. And he had to take care of all that stuff. And yet in one day, the enemies of God came and took them all away. That same day, after all this loss, his health is struck. His wife comes to him and says, "Curse God and die." And he said, "The Lord has given and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And he continued to be thankful through most all that trial. What a brutal day for him. But if God can give Job the grace to go through what he went through and yet remain thankful, yet remain one who blesses God and being thankful for him, then he can bless us too. So thanksgiving is expected of us. I hope you saw that here. Verse 3. We are bound to, we are, how would we say, it's expected of us. It just goes with the territory. We are bound to this. This is par for the course. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly and the love of every one of you all abound towards one another. So there we have that faith and love. And so this is something that Paul found to be very, very thankful for. And when we see faith in each other, one of the best ways to see it is when you come to church, when you love the songs of God, when you partake of the Lord's Supper and all these things that are involved in the worship of God. It is something that causes us to be thankful, or should cause us to be thankful. We are not alone. We all love the name of Jesus. We all hurt when we hear his name blasphemed and his character ridiculed. And so to be with one another as friends of Jesus together is something to be thankful for. Thanksgiving is expected as we are bound. It is fitting. So God expects the fruit of his work from us. And what is that fruit? We looked at it in Hebrews this morning. The fruit of praise to his name, thanks to his name, thanking him, having a thankful heart towards him. Jesus told the story of a certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. So you know, this is a fig tree planted by the master in his vineyard. And he came seeking fruit on it and found none. And if we apply that to the fruit of the praise of our lips, the praise of our tongue, our thanksgiving, offering this fruit unto God. So it says here, he said to the keeper of his vineyard, then he said to the keeper of his vineyard, "Look, for 3 years I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why does it use up the ground?" But he answered and said to him, the servant did, "Sir, let it alone this year also until I dig around it and fertilize it. And if it bears fruit, well. But if not, after that, you can cut it down." See, a person without thankfulness, without praise to God for who he is and what he does for them, is well nigh hopeless. I mean, why even be? I had a roommate in college. I was getting ready to tell you his name, but I better not. But he was pessimistic about everything, gripey about everything. There was nothing positive that he ever had to say. And it was quite amazing to me. Why are you studying to be a preacher in a Bible college, and yet you have nothing good that causes people to be thankful or rejoicing? You never say anything good about Jesus. You never say anything good about the school. You never are excited about anything you learned from the Bible that day. This is wrong. This is messed up. These people are a joke. Nothing that it would give us, how would we say, exhort us, to edify us, to edify being the opposite of tearing things down, to edify or to build somebody up. You know, you've got to be being thankful and putting your hand around people and encouraging them. You know, he didn't have to work his way through school. Most of it, 9 out of 10 of us there, we were having to work a job. I was working 2 jobs, had a full load of classes. I was missing 2 days of sleep a week. I was a young man, I could handle it, but still I was getting worn out. And it was tough. It was tough, 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 tough. And every penny I had was going to, you know, after I paid the tithe, paid my school bill, my room and board. I couldn't even afford McDonald's on Sunday when Connie and I would go there in the bus ministry. And somebody would have to have their hearts touched or something most of the time. Remember that? We would carry you lunch from the school. They would, part of the room and board, they'd give you a sack lunch. And we would have to eat that instead of some warm food. You know, cold food in the wintertime in Chicago, that doesn't taste very good. And when you look in the sandwich and it's mystery meat number 15, you don't know what it is. You feel like you're taking your chances anyway. So, Thanksgiving is expected of us no matter where we are, what we're going through, and what condition we're in. So Thanksgiving, not only this, Thanksgiving enriches all the other graces. Do you want to increase your faith? Look at His blessings. As you look at His blessings, count your blessings. And you'll become more thankful and you'll become more full of faith. Well, God delivered the lion into my hand. God delivered the bear into my hand. He'll deliver this giant named Goliath into my hands too. God has never left me in all these years. Jesus gets sweeter every day. And there were times that I laid awake at night, worried how and stressed about this situation. And yet, even the times that the situation came and blew up, it was never as bad as I thought it was going to be. It was never worth losing sleep over. It was never worth stressing about. It was only worth praying about and going to bed with a thankful heart, going to sleep with a joyful spirit. Thanksgiving enriches our faith. It causes us to love God more when we recount His faithfulness to us. Joy naturally flows from thanksgiving. It flows from gratefulness. It increases our hope when we see how much God has already brought us through, how much He has done for us already. It increases our humility. When we express how good and how giving God has been to sinners like you and me, like we say, how you doing today? Better than I deserve. I'm doing so fantastic. If I was doing any better, it'd be illegal. Well, the government already wants to wipe the joy out of your life with everything it's doing all the time. With gas prices, everything else. Oh, but be thankful. I'm being thankful that, yes, for another, how would we say, 3 or 4 more days, I can afford this gas. And if I can't, then I have a good excuse for not going to work, right? Hey, boss, you got to give us a raise. We're going to afford this gas. I can't get to work because my car doesn't run on oxygen. And so, right? So we be thankful. But anyways, God has been so good to us. We're doing better than we deserve. No matter how we feel, no matter what's going on, there are still certain things that can never be changed. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. When you get to heaven, not one of your sins is ever going to follow you there. No one will ever mention it. God says, like a thick cloud, He removes them and He puts them behind His back. What's behind God's back? Oblivion. There's nothing. They're nowhere. We remember them. Like David said in Psalm 51, my sins are ever before me. But if your sins were ever before God, oh, we're in trouble. But He's washed them all away. It's like a song I used to sing in a quartet at college, Echoes of Mercy, I think we were called. But the thing is that the song in the chorus goes, what sins are you talking about? You know, it's part of it singing to God. What sins are you talking about? I don't remember them anymore. From the book of life, they've all been torn out. I don't remember them anymore. And so he doesn't remember. You do, but he doesn't. And, coming to Him and knowing that our sins are all gone, that our home is in heaven, that He loves us so infinitely that He gave His only begotten Son. And then not only Thanksgiving expected of us, and it'll prevent us from our blindness to His blessings, it'll keep us from complaining. I'd rather be thankful than complaining. And whenever I start to complain, I start to feel ashamed of myself and embarrassed of myself and feel myself as being weak. Because I don't want to be a complainer. There's so much good to think about that God has done for me. And not only that, but thankfulness will take away our worries. It'll kill spiritual pride. And there's only one person that has given us so much. And what did we have when we came into this world? Nothing. What will we have when we leave this world? Yeah, Christ and His love and those things that are spiritual and eternal, not temporal. You can't take any of this with you, so why are we stressing about it? Right? It's all temporary. And God has promised us, like He clothes the grass of the field, to put clothes on us. He who feeds the birds of the air, and we're much more valuable than they, He's promised to feed us. It may not be horse d'oeuvres or filet mignon, but like I said to you time and time again, pinto beans and cornbread are real good eating, especially if you chop up some fresh onion on those pinto beans and put a little barbecue sauce on there. Oh, Lord have mercy. Pinto beans and cornbread. You start feeling sorry for the rich people having to eat that weird fish egg stuff on their little crackers and stuff. Right? So, a gracious and beautiful heart delights in God's blessings and delights in God's blessings to others. I'm going to say it, whether you believe it or not, that's not in my hands. All I can tell you is it's true. I find myself, for many years now, ever since Jesus saved me almost, that when God blesses others that I love and care about, I rejoice more over that than they usually do. So he says, oh, I got a raise at work, Brother Ross. I said, praise God. Amen. Hallelujah, man. Praise God for His blessings on you. I'm happy about it. Somebody gets a new car. Of course I'm happier for them for it. I don't have to make the payments. Right? No, I'm teasing you. I am happy for you. I am more happy for you than if God did it for me. I rejoice. And when you are thankful for the blessings that God gives to others around you, your thankfulness is multiplied. When you rejoice and you're thankful for what God is doing for them, you have even more reasons to be thankful now. And so that is a good thing. You should glorify God for His work wherever you see it. We're commanded, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. That there should be no division in the body, but that all the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. And so if I'm sad, it's because, you know, there's nothing I can do about something that's going on with somebody I love. But I can turn it around. I can take and bring it to God and ask God to be with them and just keep on praying. Keep on praying until God's peace comes to your heart and says, my grace is sufficient for them. I love them. I'll take care of them. Don't worry your heart anymore, Alan. They're mine. They belong to me. I have my reasons. And so a gracious and beautiful heart delights in God's blessings, and even more so sometimes His blessings to others. I would be glad if one of you won the lottery and got you the house you wanted in the place that you wanted to live and then invited me to the nice house next door to be your neighbor. No, I rejoice. I'd rejoice. I'd say, God, you sure are good. I pray that with this blessing will come your peace, and they won't worry about the money, but they'll continue to seek your face for you to direct them and protect them from those who would steal it. And so we should be most thankful, though, for spiritual blessings. And believe it or not, I'm getting ready to close now. Spiritual blessings. We all get temporal blessings, but so does the world, right? People in the world win the lottery. People in the world get a new car. People in the world get a raise at work. People in the world get a better job. So temporary blessings come to everyone. God makes His sun to shine on the evil and the good. But spiritual blessings, heavenly blessings, come only to those who are in Christ. The Bible says faith is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Being born again is not our decision. That it's not of the will of man, nor the will of the flesh, but of God. That he brings us to this saving faith. He draws us, and that word for draw in the book of John is he basically drags us to Christ. Like you drag the fish in the net to the shore. And Jesus said, all that the Father has given me shall come to me. And he who comes to me shall never be lost again, shall never be forsaken. And so these spiritual blessings, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But this hearing is of the Holy Spirit. What is that other verse? Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. So if you have saving faith, God gave it to you. That's his gift. It will never be taken away. And it will always be, successful in laying hold of Christ and reaching out, this faith that reaches out to receive the greatest heavenly treasure, and that is the person and the sacrificial work of Christ. So spiritual blessings, and we see that here. It says here with these things Paul was thankful for. He thanked God always because their love abounded. Their patience was enduring, and their faith was growing. And so this agape love is another gift. You know, the world knows brotherly love. The world knows natural affection. And definitely the United States and the rest of the world know the erotic thing. Another word used for love is eros. But that's more like, lust, infatuation. They know all about that. Of course, any animal, just like a human mother would run out in front of a car to save her child, right? A patriot would go and die for his country. A man with a backbone would do a lot of things because he knows it's the right thing to do. But only a child of God can have that heavenly love, to where they can love the sinner and hate the sin, to where they, like their Savior, can take all this abuse and yet pray for these people to be saved. You know, that pastor that died in Iran not too long ago, he went back to visit family from here in the States, and they imprisoned him, they beat him, they tortured him. And yet for all that, he continued to witness to the guards about God's goodness, his saving love in Christ. A couple of the guards were put to death as well because they gave their hearts to Christ due to his witness. They're going to be with him in heaven. And there's nothing that Iran can do to touch them anymore. But God's going to touch those people in Iran that treated him that way. And so this thankful spirit, even though he was beaten, even though he was bruised, even though he was starved and sleep deprived, this Christian man continued to express his thankfulness to God and praise to God. And that he had the opportunity to love and witness to his enemies. That kind of love comes only from God. You know, I heard one of these atheists not too long ago, and really, they like to act like they're smart, but they're the dumbest things on the earth. I mean, even on Big Bang Theory, that comedy stuff, Sheldon knew math, but he was stupid about everything else, one of the biggest dummies in the world. And all atheists are that way. They know mathematics, or they've studied a little bit of astrophysics, which is mathematics. But they're dumb about things that are staring them right in the face. And the sad truth is, they're not going to get any better because they have their God they're worshiping themselves. They're saying, I am God. I choose what's good and evil. And yet the Bible says over and over again, no, you're a fool. You're a fool. And they're the biggest fools, believe it or not. They're so easy to take apart. Their arguments are so hypocritical and unscientific. You think about these people that want to teach that these things are science. They're not science. Science means to know. And they're all talking about things they don't know. To these spiritual blessings of agape love, where even in spite of themselves, I would love for Richard Dawkins to get saved and go to heaven. I would love for Sam Harris to believe the gospel and be saved. They would realize then and there that their true wisdom only begins because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. What they believe is just so crazy. They believe that these cows that had evolved from whales, that they wanted to return to the sea, and now they've become whales again. They even, your chiropractor will call one of your bones on your back, he'll call it the dorsal. You know why? Because the evolutionists have been teaching for years that dolphins are actually men who evolved from dolphins, and then the men wanted to go back to the sea because we miss the sea too much. This is Harvard. This is Yale. This is what they teach you. I wish I could go on and on about this, but I'd be chasing a rabbit. We're out of time. Let me just add this. Spiritual blessings concern the best part of your beings, your eternal soul that lives forever and ever, that breath of life that God has given you. One of the things I wanted to say was that I heard one of these atheists just recently say, you Christians need to understand that the joy you feel when, or those experiences you have in your faith, those are felt by Muslims and Buddhists and others all over the world. Now, how would you argue that? I knew the argument right away. And that is, Muslims can't know the joy that I feel. Well, can you prove it scientifically? Well, I can prove it to you rationally. Nowhere in the Quran, nowhere in the Islamic religion is forgiveness and mercy a part of Allah's attributes. Allah is never said to forgive. Allah has never said in the Quran to be merciful. All that the Muslims do in their prayers, they do as a performance of works, so they suffer less in the day of Allah's vengeance. So they don't go plunging into the lowest of hells. They have to suffer less after they die. And only if they kill in the name of their faith do they have a hope for paradise. Not women, by the way. Women are never allowed in paradise. You only hope as an Islamic woman that you suffer less in eternity by being loyal to your husband. Now tell me, how can a Muslim experience the same joy, the same assurance? How can they offer God the same worship? First of all, they got a false god. Allah was the name of the moon god in the tribe that Muhammad grew up in. That's why you see the crescent moon on their minarets and their mosques. And that's why the full moon feast called Ramadan, they make it very special, because Allah was the name of the moon god, the male deity in the days of Muhammad. How many of you knew that? Buddhists can't experience the same joy that we have. That's just foolishness. Stupid atheist. They can't. They can't know the joy of sins forgiven, the assurance of a home in heaven. Because to the Buddhist, to reach the pinnacle of his religion is where he even ceases to have another thought forever. It's the becoming of nothingness. And their heaven, as it were, is to where they cease to exist in thought forever. That's why you see them doing these little meditations and everything. And it's to become nothing. Now, I've never seen that in the Christian faith. So they can't experience the same things we experience. They can't know the spiritual joy that we know. It's impossible. So this well-known, world-renowned atheist is one of the stupidest people I've ever heard. He doesn't know the first thing about the Christian faith or any other religion, How could the hope of not having another thought make you happy? You wouldn't know it because you don't have a thought about it. Right? So where these spiritual blessings are, this is what Paul is the most thankful about. He's talking about God's grace and peace. He's talking about, as it is, because your faith grows exceedingly. The love of every one of you all abounds towards each other. And so, and then he goes on in verse 4 and he talks about your patience, your faith, and all your persecutions, tribulations that you endure. These spiritual blessings will go on with us forever. So let me close by asking this question. Do you express more of a thankful heart or a complaining heart? With the people in your life that know you, the people you work with, do you express more of a thankful heart or a complaining heart? Secondly, do you rejoice when others are blessed? Do you rejoice even more maybe than yourself if you were to receive that blessing? If you can bless God for his blessing others, like we said, your happiness is multiplied. Do you set more joy and more thankfulness by temporary blessings or spiritual blessings? Now, if you set in front of me a prime rib with glazed onions and some other things on there, bought a mashed potatoes with gravy flowing out of it like that lava on Hawaii, oh man, I'd rejoice. I'd be grateful. I'd eat it up. But if the Holy Spirit came and spoke to my heart and he said, Alan, everything's going to be okay. Heaven is real. Serve me, follow me, love me. This is your cross-bearing day, not your crowning day. This is your burden day, not your blessing day. That day's coming, but I'm real. You're going to see your loved ones again. You're going to see Brother Jim again. You're going to see your grandma again, your Uncle Johnny, your Aunt Jeannie. Hopefully I get to see my mom. Hopefully I get to see others of my loved ones, my best friend who went to heaven when I was just barely in my 20s. These things are real. I know they're true, and I have faith in them, and I've been assured of them. But man, when the Holy Spirit comes and breathes on your heart, gives you that blessing, and let you know, once again, beyond a shadow of a doubt, it's all true. God is real. These are blessings that are even better than prime rib with glazed onions, pinto beans, and cornbread all on the same plate. Heavenly Father, we pray you bless us. Now help us as we serve you. Help us to go forth with grateful hearts, rejoicing in your blessings. And Father, we pray that as we listen to your word this week being read, or we read it in our devotions, we pay a little bit more special attention to how much gratefulness, thankfulness, rejoicing in your blessing shows up. It permeates the scriptures. Father, we pray that you would bless us with grateful hearts to show that we're different from the world. Lord, I'll go to work tomorrow. There'll be a lot of truck drivers complaining. And I'll listen patiently for a little bit. Now, just maybe sneak in a little reminder. You're making a lot of money. You've got an easy job in comparison to a lot of people. Lord, we should all be looking at the blessings you give us. They far outweigh the troubles and the trials we face. The pains of a migraine are far overflooded by all your blessings to us in Christ Jesus. In whose name we ask it. Amen. Amen.